answering your other question about, you know, how does the blog and how do my writing practices relate to this particular trip, particularly since I hadn't been here before, you know, I think that is tangled into so many other questions of being a Westerner, of being a Westerner in, you know, one of the most media-saturated cultures in the world, and of having your own, on the one hand, your own mediatized understanding of what China's all about, but also having then the gumption as a professor to say, oh, well, we really have to be careful about having these media-constructed impressions of what China's all about. And I'm like, how fucking arrogant was that, right? So that, I think, is where the blog... Okay, sorry, with the course, you know, it was really a learning experience for me as well, I hope for the students, where, yeah, okay, I knew a bunch about the history of the Olympics that I tried to share with them, but all of a sudden, this history, by the end of the course, brings us up to the present day, and the very final class was Beijing 2008. And so my own historical knowledge, you know, failed me at that point. There was nothing I could do that the students couldn't do, because none of us knew what the hell was going to happen. So we could speculate, and we could make informed opinions, and we could, but it was certainly limited based on, you know, a different type of media society, which was the internet. It was like, we're going to do some research on China, you know? It was all very fun, and let's go figure out China. And now fast forward to being here, and I think that's where, right immediately, while I'm still here, the blog is really quite nice because it's so instantaneous. It allows me to get out my perceptions of being here, learning about China, incorporating it with the Olympics, incorporating it with my conference, and incorporating it with my own practice and personal life, all in a very emotional, immediate, intuitive sense, where you just get it there. And there'll be plenty of time, you know, in the following decade or whatever, for me to, in a more rational sense, sit back and figure out what this is meant to me. But right now, the blog allows me to write, to say, this is what I'm feeling right now. Boom. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where when I mentioned the blog is this experimental form, that's one of the things I've experimented with, was how do you write yourself into your research, quote-unquote, right, more fully, instead of trying to be the academic who stands above as the privileged, you know, privileged figure of knowledge. Because I certainly, of course, in this case, have no fucking clue about China, so I can't pretend I'm the privileged figure of knowledge. So let's just write it from an embodied sense and say, this is the shit I'm going through right now.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying resonates a lot with what I'm trying to do at the moment, in the sense of trying to feel through the process of experimenting with formats, with this home shop project, in terms of organizing these different scales and what I called in the proposal minor practices, taking from Cyber Mohalla, but in the sense of this sort of like small scale activities or experiments that try to pursue a question, but also pursue the medium of itself through that question of a larger subject. So what's interesting then with the blogging format, which is something also that I'm doing now, is especially with this project, and I've been struggling with in this trying to catch up with myself, this question of like, how much can you, what are you documenting as you're doing it? How much do you separate from an embodied experience enough to write it down, to document it, to put it up online? So are you seeing some of that? I mean, is there something from your sort of sports media experience and your relationship, your knowledge of how media is tied to sports, that you feel can comment on that? Do you know what I...
Yeah, I guess a couple of things in response. The first one had to do with this point of minor practices that you talked about a second ago, and it resonated with Deleuze and Guattari talking about a major versus minor literature,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, basically it's the poets or the very sort of experimental novelists who write a minor literature and basically in some ways break the codes of language in order to create a new and chart new ways through language. And I really like this idea of a minor literature. And I think, you know, with Home Shop, what you're seeking is a bit of a minor literature for, you know, community and spatial practices in a rapidly, rapidly, rapidly changing Beijing. And so I'll admit to being quite confused by the proposal for the project at the outset. And I think that speaks as much to my institutionalization in a major literature rather than the minor literature that you're trying to explore. And so I think as I'm seeing it unfold, and as I'm sort of putting my own biases aside and expectations, you see possibilities. And really I think that's what minor practices or minor literatures should be all about, is possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for yourself as an artist, and for myself as sort of a scholar who wants to be more artistic in his work, that's what we need to do is really, instead of close down possibilities, is open them up or seek them anew, and maybe somebody else can open them up.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a real resonance there with that Deleuze and Guattari passage. Now, I'll come back to my own experiences just here in Beijing, and I think I posted 5 or 6 times since I've been here, and it's very uneven, the writing that I've done here, and I think that unevenness has a lot to do with how embodied the writing is. A lot of times, the more embodied it is, and the more it's written in the moment, and it just spits itself out, sometimes the more passionate the writing is, and the more, for me, it captures something that at least I want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's of any use to anybody else, or whether they just fucking have no clue, and I know a lot of people have no clue when they read it, and I can appreciate that, that's fine, but for me, it's honest writing to myself. And the more I can tap into that, the better. But the problem you mentioned about sort of this temporal aspect to it is really quite problematic, because, you know, there's the stereotype of the blogger who needs to publish, post, you know, to stay fresh and stay current. And I think that's such a limiting perspective of what a blog can be or should be or is. And so, you know, in your case and in my case, where it's not about frequency of posting. It's not about constancy of signal. It's about a quality signal whenever it emerges. And sometimes it's about noise that just happens to be coming out of your body at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to turn into a signal at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get it down anyways.
Mm-hmm.
That requires a different kind of temporality, and it's not a temporality of frequency, it's a temporality of
experience
to output, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you're having that experience, and sorry, I shouldn't say experience as in the experiences that lead you to have that embodied felt thing. It's when you have the embodied felt thing, you got to get it down on paper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The proverbial, I got to get this down on paper. Well, it's kind of the same thing with the blog. I mean, not only do you have to get it down on paper, but you got to get the photos there as well, and you got to get the hyperlinks there as well, and you got to backlink to your old stuff, and you got to, you know, set your tags up, and what am I trying to say here? Am I trying to be clever while I'm doing it? And if I backlink to this, but, you know, so I'm using this word to backlink to this post, but this post is about something completely different. So there's an ironic twist there that only, you know, like one person in a million might actually get.
Yeah.
But you do it for yourself.
Right.
And if you're not doing that in a very spontaneous, in the moment way where it's like, oh yeah, this, to me, this is really funny if I do it this way, and then you just got to do it. The more time you have between the embodied affective experiences of whatever makes you passionate and the actual getting it down on paper, the more of a challenge it is to really get the true self that you wanted in there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's why you do the blog, you know, if you're not doing it for, you know, Google AdSense money, or you're not doing it for your audience of, you know, 300,000 people, if you're doing it because it's what you love, then that is problematic.
It is problematic.
I find that problematic.
I mean, this goes back to the, I think this was begging the question of this public-private issue. I mean, this is a constant question for, I think, the contemporary artist, for example, of, are you doing this for yourself? Is there a need to communicate something to someone else? What is the difference between you having this embodied experience and having to write it down on paper versus actually publishing it? You talked about already, like, this threshold between at the point where you were just writing and not releasing it, and then there's a point when it decides to become public.
Mm-hmm.
So where is that threshold, and why do you feel that it needs to be crossed?
Well, that's a good question. That's a really good question, and I don't know if I know the answer. I don't know if I've reflected enough upon it. But what you just said did resonate with something, though. And I did start this blog, and I probably kept it for a few months before I actually ever, you know, broadcast the fact that, you know, I think it was on Blogger. And it was like, okay, make my blog public now. And there was like a little button you could toggle. And finally it was like this big plunge, right? It was like, you know, virginity is lost. Boom, gone. And it was very exhilarating. And of course, you know, nobody ever read it, so it was not a big deal, but it was still that exhilarating thing. So why, you know, why was it such a big deal knowing that nobody was going to read it, really? And I think that's a really good question. Now, just because that moment, you know, the virginity level has been, you know, removed, it still exists in a more diffuse form, and every time you post, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when it's embodied, you know, when you do that poetic writing, and it's very from the gut, and it's very got deep messages in there, and, you know, you look at it, and you look at it, and you reread it, and you reread it, and you're like, am I going to hit that publish button? And then you hit the publish button, and then, you know, you can't take it back. I mean, I guess you could undo the publishing or whatever, but, you know, nobody ever undoes the publishing, right?
You can delete a post.
you can delete a post. Of course you can delete a post, and you can unpublish a post, but what I'm saying is you cross that threshold for a reason.
Yeah.
And it is a minor experience of crossing the threshold, like that major one you said when I first made the blog public 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of little mini thrill exists every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I am putting myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is me. And the question is, why? Why do we have to do this? I think in an academic sense, you know, you asked it from the artist perspective, and I can't say I'm as familiar with those dialogues to really comment intelligently on them, but I will say that from an academic perspective, there is a publish imperative, a publishing imperative, a produce imperative, and right now, I can't write the way that they want me to write.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like this is the only way I can communicate what I really want to communicate. But that imperative is still there as well in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I feel like you know, I'm already marginalized enough from these institutions that the only thing that even keeps me in the ballgame is the fact that enough people know about my blog and enough people think that, okay, there's something maybe of substance there. That's why I crossed that threshold. Mm-hmm. To a large degree, it's like, I've got to continue this. And it's not like I'm doing it for the academy, not at all. But it's like I'm doing it for myself to prove myself. Mm-hmm. As much as I'm doing it because there is this, I don't know, this thrill of putting yourself out there for public consumption. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I might have discussed this briefly before, but my notebooks, I've always considered kind of my body. Mm-hmm. You know, I write in my notebook and it is literally the gut. So my notebook is my body. And when I take out of my notebook and publish to the network, that is me sharing my body with the network. And that's the best metaphor I can think of. There's some, I won't say libidinal thrill, but there's something there that's very tangible. Mm-hmm.